It's coming. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. One more time. Let's start now finally. Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك وإن لم تفعل فما بلغت رسالته والله يعصمك من الناس إن الله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين. صدق الله العظيم. This is ayah number 67. We're beginning from that. Surah Maidah, the big idea of Surah Maidah was fulfilling contracts, keeping our promises, making sure that whatever we are obligated to do as part of a contract, we make sure that we do it. And the idea that our faith, our iman is also a contract. Our iman is also a contract between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's many terms of that contract. Part of this is, this is ayah number 67, comes after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has discussed quite a bit of what is part of the contract. He says after this to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ O Messenger, بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ Convey what has been revealed to you from your Master. وَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلَ And if you were not to do so, if you didn't convey everything that was revealed to you, فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ Then you have not fulfilled, you have not conveyed the message completely. What's interesting is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made some errors during his life as a Prophet ﷺ. And the Qur'an was very quick to correct that. عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى He had a... It wasn't even a mistake. It was just, he turned his face away. Because somebody is interrupting him and he's talking, you will obviously frown. If you're having a conversation with somebody, and if imagine if we're talking right now, we're having this discussion, and somebody comes and starts just talking to me. Just without any concern, obviously I will turn my face away and frown. It's a natural reaction. But even that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded and reprimanded the Prophet ﷺ for. عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى Right? We saw the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, and we said at the occasion of the Battle of Uhud, كَيْفَ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا خَيَّبُوا وَجْهَ نَبِيِّهِمْ بِالدَّمْ How can Allah guide up a nation when they have colored the face of their messenger with blood? And this is, you know, a question that is a legitimate question. How can Allah guide these people? You know, because the punishment is going to come to them. They're killing a messenger, or they're attempting an assassination at a messenger. That it equals divine punishment. Get ready for it. But even at that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Prophet and reprimands him that no, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ It's not your job. It's not, you know, guidance is not in your hand. Your job is to convey the message. Your job is to convey the message. So, the Prophet ﷺ did convey the message, ﷺ, and everything that was said to him that was a reprimand is also recorded in the Qur'an. And we read it to this day. He didn't hide anything. It's embarrassing to talk about your own flaws. How much more embarrassing is it to recite your own flaws and make it part of a legislation? But he ﷺ didn't hide anything. He, even the ayat that were criticizing him and reprimanding him, not criticizing him, reprimanding him slightly and correcting him, even those are also recorded, and we read this ayat every single time we read Quran. So this is the nature of the conveyance of the message. And another thing, a thing that becomes a deterrent in conveying the message often is fear of people. Right? Sometimes we don't give people the message of Islam, or we're hesitant to tell people about Islam because we're afraid, we have some anxiety regards to what they would say and what they would think about us. So Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from the people. He will make sure that you are safe. اللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ So that means don't worry about what the people say, don't worry about what the people think. That is not for something to you to be concerned about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you and He will take care of you. You just do your job. You just do your job. And this is something that was told to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, excuse me. But the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam expected us to carry on and do the job that he was doing. He expected us to do his job after he passed away sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً Convey from me even if it is a small piece of information, like an ayah. And he said that, وَلْيُبَلِّغُ أَشَّاهِدُ مِنْكُمْ الْغَائِبُ The one who's here should take this message to the one who's not here. So his expectation was that we actually do his job after he passed away. So this ayah speaks to the Messenger ﷺ personally, but also speaks to all of us individually. وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمِكُمْ مِنَ النَّاسِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ. In ayah number 71, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the effect of sins, in which he says, وَحَسِبُوا أَلَّا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةٌ فَعَمُوا وَصَمُوا ثُمَّ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ ثُمَّ عَمُوا وَصَمُوا كَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. This is an interesting ayah, because the ayah preceding that says, وَلَقَدْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. No doubt, I swear that we took the covenant or the promise, made a contract with Bani Israel. وَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ رُسُولًا, and we sent to them many messengers. كُلَّمَا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُهُمْ. Every time a messenger would come who they didn't like, or they didn't like what he was saying for one reason or the another. تَهْوَى أَنفُسُهُمْ. It's just, I don't like what this guy is saying, I don't like his face. Even that is تَهْوَى أَنفُسُهُمْ. Really interesting choice of words here. Or I don't like what he's saying, I don't like this message, I don't like his tone, whatever the case is. And this is a messenger of Allah, this is not a normal person. This person is speaking on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, كُلَّمَا جَاءَهُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُهُمْ. Every time a messenger would come to them that they didn't like, فَرِيقًا كَذَّبُوا, a group of them they called liars. A group of those messengers they called liars. Imagine the audacity to call a messenger a liar. They called a group of those messengers a liar. Like Isa alayhi salam, they called him a liar. You're not a truthful person, you're a liar. وَفَرِيقًا يَقْتُلُونَ, and a group of them they attempted to kill and assassinate. Like Yahya alayhi salam, like even Zakaria, Isa alayhi salam. They attempted to assassinate Isa alayhi salam, but it wasn't to be done. And attempted to assassinate the Messenger ﷺ on multiple occasions. He went to speak to them once, and they attempted. He was sitting in the house of one of their chieftains, and they were plotting to, basically, like the roof was an open roof, so just throw a boulder down from the roof so it can crush him. Subhanallah, right? This person is in your house, and this is what you're, you know. Even your enemy, if he's in your house, you at least honor him and treat him like a guest. But they attempted the assassination of the Prophet ﷺ there, and Jibreel told him that, look, they're about to throw a rock down, you walk out. So Sallallahu ﷺ left, and that was the end of that. And they attempted to assassinate him when he conquered Khaybar, that they brought him the poisoned shoulder of a lamb, and he ate from it, and he realized it's poisoned. So this is something that Bani Israel did with with many messengers, and even to the Prophet ﷺ. Now, they did this. This is like the biggest sin you can think of, right? You can't get a bigger sin than that. Killing is bad. Killing any person is a huge sin. It's something that puts a person in hellfire indefinitely, like the Quran says. Killing a messenger on top of that, I mean, you can't get any worse than this. So they were committing these sins, and they're saying وَحَسِبُوا أَلَّا تَكُونَ فِتْنَةً, and they would think, they're, you know, fancying themselves that there will be nothing is going to be done afterwards. There's no consequences. So just keep doing what they're doing. Person does something bad, nothing, there's no consequences. He's like, you know what, I'll do something worse next time. Let's see what else I can get away with. Right? Kids do it all the time. They do something bad, they push another child, nothing is said. They say, okay, let me next time hit the child. Next time they hit the child, still nothing is said by the parents. Next time they hit them even harder, and then they're yelled at or something. This is human tendency, to do something bad and then look for a reaction, consequences. So they thought that there will be no consequences, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was kind enough to let it pass. فَعَمُوا وَصَمُوا. So they became blind and deaf. This is the effect of sins. Just because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not punish us or zap us, doesn't mean that He is not watching us. Doesn't mean that He cannot take us to task. Doesn't mean that those sins are not actually deteriorating our hearts. They're having an effect. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean it doesn't have an effect. فَعَمُوا وَصَمُوا ثُمَّ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was kind enough to accept their repentance and give them another chance. ثُمَّ عَمُوا وَصَمُوا. But they didn't learn. They continued their actions, they didn't change. عَمُوا وَصَمُوا, they became blind and deaf. كَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ, not all of them, most of them. Not all of them. Again, this precision in the Quranic language where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not generalize an entire nation. And we've seen so many examples of that almost every day. كَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ, and Allah was very, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was watching what they were doing. It wasn't that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wasn't there to see what they were doing. They were doing it in hiding. No, nothing hides from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So very, very interesting. They did sins, thinking that because Allah is not punishing them, because there's no thunderbolt coming from the sky to zap them, nothing is going to happen. But in reality, their hearts became harder and harder and harder, until Allah says, literally, they became blind and deaf. Not physically, but spiritually. So you can tell them something good, and they would never be able to listen to it. You can show them something that's right, and they won't be able to see it. ثُمَّ عَمُوا وَصَمُوا. This is the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the effect of sins. Then he mentions the great Prophet of Allah, Isa alayhi salam, and he comments, there was an assassination attempted on him as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comments on Isa alayhi salam, and he says, لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمُ. No doubt, I swear that those people who say Allah is Isa alayhi salam, they have committed apostasy. They have committed disbelief. They're not believers. These are a group of people, a group of Christians who actually believed Isa alayhi salam was God incarnate. He was God in flesh and blood. They said he is God who's walking around. So, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records of them. And he says, وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحُ, in fact, what Isa alayhi salam said was to the contrary, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ, O children of Israel, اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ, worship Allah, my master and your master. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. The one who does shirk, the one who worships Allah, anything but Allah, gives anything that belongs to Allah to anybody else, has the same reverence that they're supposed to have for Allah for anybody else. Even that, right? Then فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for sure made Jannah haram for them. They're not going to Jannah. These people are thinking they're going to Jannah because worshipping Jesus Christ will get them there, because he's such a loving person. No, it's actually going to make it haram on them. وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ, and their abode, final abode will be hellfire. The final home will be hellfire. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ, and no one's going to help them, the wrongdoers. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةً, another faction of the Christians who say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَةً, Allah is the third of three. What's really fascinating is they actually say that Allah, there's God the Father, then Son, the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit, and the Son, right? Yes, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. So, what's funny is they actually say Allah is first, God the Father, first of the three. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they say Allah is the third of the three, because as soon as you made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, equal to anybody else, you made him one of the three people, or one of the three entities, God the Father, Holy Spirit, Isa alayhi salam, you've already demoted him. Just by saying he's the first, and then there's the Holy Spirit, and there's the Son, doesn't mean that now that crime is any less. You see? That's just as bad as you saying Allah is the third of the three. The fact that you made this distinction of three, that's the worst thing. Nothing, you cannot water this crime down at all. ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ, really subtle. And there were two factions historically in the Christians. The one that believed that actually there is God the Father, and then Mary the Mother, and Jesus the Son. That was a historical faction. And I forgot what I was reading about this. There's some Christians who still hold that same belief, but historically they existed. And then the second faction that came a little later was, there's God the Father, Holy Spirit, and then Jesus the Son. وَلَيَعَذَ بِاللَّهِ, of course. But really interesting how even the idea of the Trinity evolved. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will comment on that towards the end of Surah Ma'idah, as we'll see inshallah. That's the reason why I'm mentioning this, because Allah will actually bring this up towards the end as we proceed. وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا إِلَٰهٌ وَاحِدٌ. But the reality is there's only one true God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not divisible by three. Right? You cannot make him one of three, or the second of the third, or third of third. No, he's only one. And what he has, nobody else can have. What makes him Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what makes him worthy of worship, is there's nobody like him. Think about it just logically. If there was anybody like Allah, then why would you then worship Allah? That's what makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unique and worthy of true worship. There's no one like him. No one can do what he does. No one is... Everybody has a beginning and an end. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have a beginning nor an end. Everything is finite and measurable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not finite and is not measurable. He's transcendent. He's beyond this. So all of this considered, it's a really very, very nice argument. Allah says, وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا إِلَٰهُ وَاحِدٍ. He's only one. Unlike anybody else. That's why you worship him. وَإِن لَمْ يَنْتَهُوا عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ لَيَمَسَّنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And if they're not too, if they don't stop, then those who are who keep saying this, they will be touched with a very severe, very painful punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not shut the door on them. He says, أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. Ayah number 74. Won't they to repent to Allah, turn back to Allah, وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, and ask for His forgiveness? It's okay if you made mistakes in the past. It's okay. Everybody has a past. Everybody has made mistakes. It's okay if bad things were done in the past. What's important now is to move forward, but take corrective action. أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. اللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Because Allah is the one who is غَفُور, extremely forgiven. رَحِيم, extremely merciful. And Rahim is not just merciful. Rahim is somebody who is loving and caring. Loving, caring, hoping for the best for you. That is who Allah is. You turn back to Him, He was most definitely going to be there to receive you. This is what Allah keeps telling us again and again and again. Then He tells us about who really Maryam, Isa alayhi salam was. He says, مَلْ مَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمْ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Maryam, Isa alayhi salam, Al-Masih, the Messiah, son of Maryam, was nothing but a messenger. Illa Rasul. He was nothing but a messenger. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ. Before him, many, many messengers had gone by. The same phrase Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had used for the Prophet ﷺ in Surah Ali Imran. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلِ. Exactly the same thing. Because they're exactly the same. They're both messengers. They're both messengers. And many, many other messengers before them have passed. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that these were some of the greatest men to have ever walked the earth. Despite that, they're still just men. That's it. Nothing more than a man and a messenger. There's a limit. The Arabs say, Al-Abdu Abdun, sorry, Al-Rabbu Rabbun, Wa In Tanazzal. وَالْعَبْدُ عَبْدٌ وَإِنْ تَرَقَّ. Meaning that the master is going to be the master even if he comes down from his high place. And a slave is going to be a slave even if he climbs the ladder. وَإِنْ تَرَقَّ. Really interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down like what befits His majesty to the sky of the earth every night. But He's still the master. And the Prophet ﷺ actually was raised up to the skies. Isa alayhi salam was raised up to the sky as well. But they're both still slaves of Allah. They're both still slaves of Allah. Doesn't matter how high up they go. He says, مَا الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمْ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَةٌ. And his mother was a person of utmost truth. Somebody who would do something right away to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rank of a Siddiq is just below the rank of a Nabi. In human beings, this is the highest rank a human being can get. Being a Siddiq, who's not a prophet, this is the highest they can aim for. Abu Bakr was called a Siddiq because he was always truthful and he was quick to do whatever was told or whatever was commanded, whatever was legislated. Likewise, Maryam alayhi salam, she was extremely quick to do things. She spent her life worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she was of the utmost truthfulness. So she is, of course, a great lady, one of the highest ranks that could be achieved, she has achieved. In fact, the Prophet said in an authentic hadith that there's four women who have reached the highest, they've scaled the top of the mountain. And the first of those four is Maryam alayhi salam. So this is an incredible honor that Allah has given her. كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ Despite the fact that they were great human beings, they were just human beings. Because Allah says, كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ They used to eat food. Very interesting statement if you think about it. They used to eat food. What is he trying to say here? He's saying that they depended on food. They couldn't survive without food. How can they ensure your survival? If you wanted to take these two down, you can cut off their food supply and then you can basically, they're at your mercy, like any human being would be. If you cut off a human being's food supply, he's useless, right? You can tell them to do whatever, like a person who's starving will do whatever you tell them. That's why if a person is starving to death and someone tells them, I'll give you food as long as you disbelieve in Allah, in that situation, it is okay to say, I disbelieve in Allah, because you are starving to death. If a person is starving to death and the only food that's presented to them is the meat of a pig, it's okay to eat that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that فَمَنِ اِطْطُرَّ فِي مَخْمَصَةٍ غَيْرَ مُتَجَانِفٍ لِإِثْمٍ فَمَنِ اِطْطُرَّ غَيْرَ بَاغٍ وَلَا عَادٍ If someone is forced to, if they're starved, if a person is starved, they can do. You can tell them to do whatever you want. So Allah is saying, these two people used to eat food. You could starve them, and then basically they're at your disposal, theoretically speaking. How can they be the masters of the universe? How can they be equals with Allah? How can they have anything to do with your survival or your protection? They have nothing. They have nothing. Because they're just human beings. All they can do, Isa alayhi salam was a messenger. He conveyed the message. That was his job. But this is the fascinating argument that Allah makes. كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ They just used to eat food. They were dependent on food. They couldn't, they weren't able to protect themselves from this. How can they protect you from it? أُنظُرْ كَيْفَ نُبَيِّنُ لَهُمُ الْآيَاتِ See how we make the ayat clear to them. Just look at how we make these ayat clear to them. ثُمَّ انْظُرْ أَنَّا يُفْقُونَ And then look how quickly they run away. How quickly they turn away and ignore our signs. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ Ayah number 76. أَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ Do you worship besides Allah? Someone that's below Allah. مَا لَا يَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا Dunillah, you know, duni, you know, being the word, usage of the word dun here is really interesting. Because Allah could have said, Ata'buduna min ghayrillah, other than Allah. But He uses the word dun. Dun actually means, comes from dana, which is lowered. Dunya is called dunya because it's low, right? You can put your feet on it. So, these people know that whatever they're worshipping are below Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet they are worshipping them. Yet they continue to worship them. Subhanallah. So Allah says, أَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا Do you worship what's below Allah? And you know they're below Allah. And on top of that, they can't do anything for you. They can't protect you from something bad that's happening. They can't give you anything that you need. وَاللَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ But it is Allah who is truly the one who listens and the one who knows. Subhanallah, really powerful arguments that Allah has made against worshipping anybody besides Him, particularly Isa alayhi salam, who has many people who worship him. You know, any time a person makes the gesture of a cross, right? That's like someone making a sajda. That's like somebody making sajda. Because that we make sajda to come closer to Allah, they make the cross so that they can be divinely blessed. Really, 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 really interesting that this is still part of even in modern society. We find this very common that people do this. He says after this, in ayah number 82, he mentions a really interesting phenomena. He says that تَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Absolutely no doubt that the people who are have the most animosity towards you are the people who are the Jews and the polytheists. They have the most animosity towards you. And you will absolutely no doubt find closest to you in love those who say we are Christians. That is because إِنَّ مِنْهُمْ قِسِّيسِينَ وَرُهْبَانَ. In them were people who were dedicated to worship. Spiritual people who dedicated their lives to worship. قِسِّيسِينَ and ruhban. The monks and the priests. A monk basically gives up his own life, his whole life, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really interesting if you think about it. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. And they don't have any arrogance. But this is, this statement is conditional. You know, history tells us that the Christians and the Muslims have had some of the bloodiest wars. And some of the things that the Crusaders did to the Muslims are, you know, it's a blot on human history, what they've done. It's so disgusting. So this ayah has to be understood in its context, that this is Christians who are, you know, who are monks and priests, those who have a spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a warmongering evangelical Christian. It's not talking about those. These are Christians who are very spiritual people. And we find examples of them in the seerah. They're the wafd of Najran, the people who came from Najran to debate the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were like this. They were people who, even though they didn't accept Islam, they at least left with some respect of the Messenger. Najashi, who was a Christian king before he accepted Islam, gave refuge to the Muslims. Because he was also a person of spirituality and he was connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The narration mentions when Ja'far radiallahu anhu recited Surah Maryam, the entire congregation started crying of Christians because they were so overtaken by emotion that Isa alayhi salam was described with such beautiful words, they started crying. You don't find any evangelical Christian starts to cry when Quran is read on them, describing Isa alayhi salam. This is what, you know, the statement is conditional. Also, there's other Christian kings like the king of Egypt and who sent a gift to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a Christian. Muqawqas, he was a Christian. And he sent a gift to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a sign of respect. This is what this ayah is talking about. Not what some of the warmongering evangelical Christians have done. Even to this day, a lot of the people who make up the US Army are these evangelical Christians. Right? And they don't have any love, they don't have any of these characteristics. They don't come in this category. So this is something that is important for us to keep in mind. Particularly the next ayah illustrates what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means by this. He says, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ. When they listen, some of the righteous followers of Isa alayhi salam, ayah number 83. When they listen to what Allah has sent down. سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ. What's been revealed to the Messenger. تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ. You see their eyes overflowing with tears. Like there's a river of tears that's flowing down their cheeks. This was a group of people that came from Abyssinia. Christians. Who came looking for the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. About 60 of them. And they came and they heard the Prophet ﷺ read Qur'an and they started crying. They started crying. And they accepted Islam. Because they recognized that this man is the true messenger. This is what we were looking for. This is what was prophesied in our books. It says, يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Actually before that, مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Because of what they recognize of the truth. Of the message, of the messenger. And then they say that Rabbana, our master, amanna, we have believed. We believed, faktubna ma'a shahideen, so write us from those who are the witnesses. Write us as a witness that we have testified. We say, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, وَشَهَدُوا أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. So writers of those people who are saying this, testimony of faith. وَمَا لَنَا لَا نُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ. And why will we not believe in Allah? وَمَا جَاءَنَا مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And what has come to us of the truth? وَنَطْمَعُ أَن يُدْخِلَنَا رَبُّنَا. While we are desiring that our master would enter us, مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الصَّالِحِينَ, with the righteous people. So humble. We just want to be with the righteous people. We want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to write us in the righteous people. We just want to be in their company. How can we not believe in Allah and in this truth when we want this? This idea of keeping a promise. When they recognize the truth, they kept their promise that we will follow the truth wherever it's from. They kept their promise, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them in glowing terms. Such glowing terms that He says about them, فَأَثَابَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِمَا قَالُوا جَنَّاتٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paid them back for what they said. This is incredible. Just the statement they made at that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paid them back with jannat, many, many gardens. Generally, to get to Jannah, you have to believe and do good deeds. This is one of the few parts, I believe it's the only part in the Quran, when Allah says, فَأَثَابَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِمَا قَالُوا جَنَّاتٍ. Just because what they said caused them to enter many, many gardens in Jannah. Because of the gravity of the statement. Because of what that statement implied. It implied they kept their promise. They were true to their word. This is incredible, subhanAllah. And this idea of people crying and having the spiritual experience when they accept Islam, this is common, you would see this. And this is common even for those of us who, you know, come to Islam again, and our Islam is revived, that this is a common feeling between people who have faith. That when something that's true is brought out and we recognize it, the emotion is tears. Overwhelming tears. And these are tears of joy. These are tears of joy. Because you don't know how else to express your gratitude. So you start crying. SubhanAllah, it's really, really beautiful and really powerful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who cry for His sake tears of joy. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says some other important things that are binding upon us. Is first of all, لا تحرموا يا أيها الذين آمنوا, ayah number 87. لا يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تحرموا طيبات ما أحل الله لكم. Do not make things that are halal haram. Don't make halal things haram. Particularly those pure things that Allah has made halal, do not make them haram. That is not piety. Staying away from halal things is not piety. Making a halal thing haram upon you is not piety. True piety is staying away from haram. And this is an important thing, because sometimes as a people who are very eager to come closer to Allah and worship Allah, and those who want to do the right thing, that we may make something that is actually not halal, not haram, into haram. Something that is, you know, mubah. Something that is not halal or haram. People, out of their eagerness to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will make that thing haram. And it causes much damage. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a warning. And I'm not going to give you any examples, because all the examples will require me to talk a lot and explain myself a lot, and maybe some back and forth. But you can think of some examples like that. Things that are really not part of the deen, or the deen does not explicitly make it haram. Do you know, to make something haram, you need an explicit text that makes it haram. The Quran saying it, or the Messenger ﷺ saying it explicitly. It cannot be like an implicit, you know, thing. If something is implicit, you cannot make it haram. You could say it's not preferred, it's not liked, it's not the best thing to do, but you can make it haram. To make something haram, you need explicit text and explicit scripture to do it. So subhanAllah, very, very interesting that Allah points this out. Then He says, He talks afterwards also about keeping your promises. لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الإيمان. Particularly, not promises, but taking an oath. If a person takes an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they have to keep that oath. If someone says, wallahi, I will do it, then they have to do it. But Allah says, you know, sometimes it's the habit of the people, particularly the Arabs, you know, back in the day and even today, that they would say, Wallahi a lot. Wallahi a lot. So some things like, Wallahi, I'm going to, you know, go inside or something, you know, that it's not a, you didn't really intend to do it, but it's just a slip of the tongue. Allah says, I'm not going to take you to task for it. But something that you intended to take an oath for, because you take an oath to make your argument stronger, then you have to fulfill that oath. You have to complete your what you had taken an oath by. I remember I was in Egypt, and my teacher would come and we were memorizing the Quran, and I would read to him, and it was like 2.5 pages generally that we would read to him. So he would come and he's like, so did you memorize something today? I was like, no, I didn't. But I swear by Allah, tomorrow I will have two ready, right? Two quarter hizb ready, right? And he's like, oh, so if you don't do it tomorrow, you have to feed people. I was like, yes, you're right. Next day comes, lo and behold, I actually didn't have 5 pages ready. I had 2.5. But I read some old pages and new pages. I said, look, I have 5 for you, alhamdulillah. So I fulfilled my oath and I don't have to feed people. But the point is, even for something like small like this, right? I was doing it to motivate myself, but I fell short. Even for something small, an oath is a serious matter because it's a commitment. And a believer's commitment, his word is, you know, it's valuable. It's not worthless. So that's why Allah says, وَحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ. Guard your oaths very carefully. Watch what you say. Your word is binding. Your word is not, I'll see you tomorrow, or, you know, I'll call you later. Don't just say that if you're not going to call the person later. Because a believer's word is binding. So, كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And likewise, Allah makes His ayat clear to you so you can thank Him. You can be thankful to Him. In ayah number 90, He mentions the prohibition, the legislation that came to ban alcohol and gambling are mentioned in this ayah. Ayah number 90. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Ansab and Azlam are, you know, habits of the Arabs that we don't have anymore. But of course, Khamr and Maisir, which is alcohol and gambling, are very widespread even to this day. And they're showing no signs of slowing down. What Allah says is really interesting. He says, these things, alcohol and gambling, Khamr wal Maisir, are nothing but rijsun. They are filth from the deeds of shaitan. This is one of the few things that Allah describes as filth from something that shaitan does. Because these two things are so addictive that they have a destructive capability. A person who's addicted to alcohol and drugs, you know, we see our mayor struggling with this, unfortunately, subhanAllah. But someone who's addicted to this stuff has no idea what they're saying, has no control over themselves. They lose all their dignity because they have no control over what they've said. How many deaths are caused? The second leading cause of deaths, of people dying outside of cancer, are drug drivers. People who had too much alcohol and then couldn't control themselves while driving. SubhanAllah. Really, really, these are destructive forces. And maisir, gambling as well, is a destructive force. A person plays a hand, he doesn't win, he says, okay, I'll play another hand, doesn't win, he plays another hand, doesn't win, you know, double or nothing. Double or nothing means you've lost all your money. You're probably going to lose that hand as well. And you lose that hand, that's it, it's all gone. And what incites a person is, you see one person win something out of like the 1,000 that are in the casino, and everybody wants to be that one person. But they don't realize the odds are stacked against them. So a person can gamble away so much wealth. I was watching a documentary on some athletes who are broke. These athletes have made hundreds of millions of dollars, and after retiring they're broke. They have nothing. Like, we have more than they. SubhanAllah. How did this happen? So the guy is describing his downfall. And he gambled away most of his money, this miskeen. He wasted a lot of it on, you know, his entourage, failed investments, just luxury. That's, you know, just wasteful spending on luxury. But a lot is spent on gambling. People have hundreds of millions of dollars, losing almost all of it or a large portion of it due to gambling. Because these are destructive forces. Allah calls them رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. They are the filthiest things from what shaitan does. فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. So stay totally away from them. Ijtinab is to like just be, you know, just don't even get in their path. Don't even get in the path of this. You know, jamb is something that is on the side of the road. Being on the side of something. Ijtanibu is like be on the side. If there's like a traffic, like the traffic is going on a road, you'll be on the side of that road. Likewise, if there's people committing these sins, you totally avoid them. Don't even be on that street. فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So you can be successful. And he says, what's the outcome of alcohol and gambling? He says, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaitan only wants from gambling and alcohol, أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءِ. That he put between you, الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءِ. أَن يُوقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءِ. That he wants to put between you animosity and hatred. This happens because of gambling. Somebody wins all the money, you're not going to like that person who took all your money. You're going to have some hatred against them. People who play poker, right? You end up losing a lot of money if you're gambling while playing poker. And the guy who wins the hand, he's going to be whooping and, you know, having good fun, and you'll be hating that person. You'll be hating that person. And that hate comes out when a person is drunk. They will say some things that, you know, they generally would not be able to, generally they would restrain. But that will come out on their tongue. And there's all these fights that you see at bars and all these gatherings. That's why this happens. Bar fights are bar fights for a reason, because people get drunk and they lose control and they have a fight. This is what Allah says. And يُقِعَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْضَاءِ بِالْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. Because of alcohol and gambling. وَيَصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. Really phenomenal. And so that he can prevent you, shaitan can prevent you from more important things, like ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, like remembering Allah. وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ, and from salah. The person who's in Las Vegas and he's gambling away in a casino, he has no idea what time it is. There's no clocks on the wall. There's no light that you can see. Your salahs are gone in that situation. Likewise, the person who's drunk, he has no idea of time, what time it is. The person who's high even has no idea what time it is. So what salah is he praying? And even if he does pray, what is he saying in his salah? What remembrance of Allah is he doing if he's drunk or high? وَيُصُدَّكُمْ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَعَنِ الصَّلَاةِ. This is one of the things that absolutely takes a person away from the remembrance of Allah and from the prayer. So Allah says, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Will you stop? فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Such a beautiful way of addressing people. Will you stop? Will you stop? This is an amazing, you know, way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses people. If someone is doing something bad, we should tell them, could you stop it please? Will you stop? This is what فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. The same statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very powerful ayat. وَأَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيُوا رَسُولَ وَأَحْذَرُوا. And obey Allah and the Messenger. وَأَحْذَرُوا, and watch out. Watch out. These things are deadly. You take your precautions. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ. And if you don't listen, if you want to go and have some fun and drink it up and get high and gamble and whatnot, فَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا عَلَى رَسُولِنَا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. It's not like you're harming the Messenger. It's not like you're harming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not, they've done their job already. It's not like you're harming any other person. You're harming yourself only. And their job is done. They've given you the message. That's it. Another really interesting ayah. I was going to cover this, but I'll cover this now because this is a really phenomenal ayah. It's so deep. It's addiction. The idea of people being addicted to things. And there's many things that are addictive. Alcohol and gambling are just two of them. But much media that people consume, particularly a type of media that is not, you know, that has a certain rating. If you know what I'm talking about. Very, very addictive. It becomes a destructively addictive habit. But people, and people are just drown in it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about addictions here in this ayah, because very pertinent, given what was mentioned before. He says, لَيْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ جُنَاحٌ. The people who have iman and they do good deeds, they have no sin. فِيمَا طَعِمُوا, in what they have consumed, in what they have drunk alcohol before. The Sahaba were concerned. They're like, we used to drink alcohol a lot. What happens now? Right? And also, modern day, somebody has a bad habit. They have the habit of drinking. They have the habit of getting high. This is a big deal. But what Allah is saying, what's done in the past is done. You move on. لَيْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ جُنَاحٌ فِيمَا طَعِمُوا إِذَا مَتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. As long as a person can protect themselves from going in this again, and they believe they're doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm just saying, it's good to seek their help, but you're not leaving an addiction because of peer pressure or because of what society is saying. No, you're leaving it because of what Allah says. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they do good deeds. So, what's done is done. This is the thing about addictions, that Allah says, what's done is done. Let it go. Let bygones be bygones. As long as in the future, you can protect yourself, and you do it for the sake of Allah, and you compensate for that lost time by doing good deeds. But the addictions don't just go away in like one shot. إِذَا مَتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Ayah number 93. ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا. But they fall into it again. But then after that, they protect themselves and they do it again because of their belief. ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَأَحْسَنُوا. So, ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. They protect themselves and believe and do good deeds. ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا. Then again, they fall into it. And then again, they can remind themselves and protect themselves. ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا. And they believe. ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَأَحْسَنُوا. And then if they are about to fall into it again, they watch themselves and protect themselves, and this time they actually get over it. Four times this thing repeats. Let me say this again. إِذَا مَتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَأَحْسَنُوا. Sorry, three times, my bad. ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَآمَنُوا ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَأَحْسَنُوا. I figured I made a mistake there. Three times he describes this process. The first time they try to break it, it doesn't work. Second time they try to break it, it doesn't break. The third, but they keep trying. They keep trying. They keep having taqwa. They keep protecting themselves. They keep doing it because of iman. They keep trying to make up for that addiction by doing good deeds, keeping themselves busy and occupied. This is one of the biggest ways to get rid of an addiction, to find other things to do. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps saying in this ayah, آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And finally, ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَأَحْسَنُوا. Finally, they break it. اتَّقَوْا. They show taqwa, they protect themselves, وَأَحْسَنُوا, and they do a great job. Ihsan is to do something really beautifully, and they finally get rid of the addiction. If a person can do this at the end of it, what was done in the past will be forgiven, inshallah. This is so amazing. So amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an incentive to break addictions of all sorts and gives a process. You will fall back into it, don't worry about it. Just keep trying your best. You won't just break an addiction overnight. You just can't go cold turkey and break it. It takes time. Some people can do it. Just cold turkey, gone. I know people who have quit smoking literally overnight. But those are far and few who do that. Most people, it takes time. It's a process. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala acknowledges that process and says, as long as you arrive at the end of the process, everything will be forgiven. Right? Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin, and Allah loves those who do this, who try their best. It's so powerful, subhanAllah. Such incentive to give up bad habits, and such understanding that Allah shows. Such understanding. If only we could show so much understanding towards others. He mentions other things like hunting while in ihram. It's really easy to hunt while you're in ihram, because you know the animal is right there. You can get that animal very easily, but keep in mind that Allah is watching you, so don't do it. It's part of that contract, that binding contract upon us. Of course, nobody hunts in ihram anymore. People hunt al-baked chicken in ihram now. So this is something that generally don't do anymore. But it was mentioned to the Sahaba and it was a big deal for them, because they didn't have drive-through McDonald's and drive-through al-baked when they were going for Hajj. They actually had to hunt. So their life was actually made much harder because of this, because they had to carry a lot of food and make sure that they had a lot of things for themselves while going for Hajj and Umrah. But this is something that is part of ihram, not allowed to do. Also, something that's really important is in ayah number 101. This ayah requires it's food for thought. It's something for us to think about. He says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tas'alu an ashya'a in tubda lakum tasukkum." O believers, don't ask about things if they were made clear to you, tasukkum, they will hurt you, they will harm you. You will become saddened by them. This happened when the Prophet ﷺ made Hajj, and one of the Sahaba, who was not an old Sahabi, he was a new Sahabi, and very eager to do good things and eager to catch up to all the, on the lost time, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, afi kulli aamin, every year should we make Hajj?" And the Prophet basically like just turned away and just ignored the question. So he comes to the other side of the Prophet and says, "Afi kulli aamin, ya Rasulullah, every year should we make Hajj?" And the Prophet just ignores him again. Right? And this guy just keeps asking the question. And the Prophet says afterwards, "If I said yes, then it would be fard every year. Then every year you would have to make Hajj and you won't be able to do it. So stop asking this question." It's really powerful, this incident. The Sahabi is very eager, he wants to do things. And the Prophet is very watchful, he's very careful. Because he knows what's hard and what's easy. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he tells explicitly, don't ask this question again and again. If I was to say yes, it will become fard every single year. ثُمَّ لَا تَسْتَطِيعُونَ Then you won't be able to do it afterwards. So this ayah is food for thought. Think if this is something that people who are eager religiously, that there is a tendency to make things harder and harder, more rigid and more rigid. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, just don't ask about too many irrelevant questions. Not ask questions, because asking questions is very important. Because we're not Christians, don't ask anything, just believe. We're not like that. But this is an important thing to at least think about. And again, there's no one-line answer here. It depends very highly on situation. But the example is present in the precedence is set in the time of the Sahaba, when the Sahabi was asking and asking and asking. So, something to at least consider. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a very interesting statement. He comments on culture. There's good culture. Because the Sahaba were all Arabs, and they had some things of their culture that actually was made part of the Sharia, like the sacred months. Sacred months was the culture of the Arabs. Ash-Shahr al-Haram, ayah number 97 mentions that. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامِ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ وَالشَّهْرَ الْحَرَامِ وَالْهَدِيَ وَالْقَلَائِدِ In the beginning of Surah Ma'idah, the same things were mentioned. Now again, they're repeated here to make a point that there were certain parts that were Arab traditions, specifically Arab traditions, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah has made this part of the faith. Allah has made it part of the faith. But also there were parts of the Arab tradition that Allah says, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ مِن بَحِيرَةٍ وَلَا سَائِبَةٍ وَلَا وَصِيلَةٍ وَلَا حَامٍ These were types of animals. You know, for example, one animal would not give birth to a camel that does not give birth to a male camel, for example. I don't remember the exact details. But that camel would be haram for the Arabs to eat. They would say, no, this camel is, you know, not something that you should eat from, and you just leave that camel. But this was just culture. There was nothing. There was no legislation. There was no scripture that mentioned this. So Allah says, وَلَكِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَفْتَرُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبِ The people who have disbelieved have made this all up in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've invented all this as part of the faith, which has nothing to do with faith. The interesting thing here is the contrast between something that is cultural but acceptable in Islam. Even to this day, what's called al-urfu muhakkam, this is the axiom in Islamic law, that culture, customs, is it mandates, it's part of the decision-making process, of the deduction of law, it's part of that process. So there is good culture that's there, but also there is bad culture that needs to be shed, cultural baggage that needs to be let go of, like this that Allah mentions in ayah number 103. And he goes on and he actually criticizes the people who hang on to cultural baggage, cultural Islam, something that they saw that was done that has no basis. And there's lots of that in Muslim countries, people who go to graves, people who are, you know, dedicated to grave sites. Not just the grave, but the grave site itself. They become dedicated to that area, the peers of that area, those spiritual leaders of that area, they become dedicated to those people, thinking that this is something that will somehow get them closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cultural baggage like this has to be shed, because Allah says in ayah number 104, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ, when it is said to them, come to what Allah has revealed, وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ, and what has been revealed to the messenger, Quran and Sunnah. Very one of those few places in Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala separates the two like this. تَعَالَوْا إِلَى مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ وَإِلَى الرَّسُولِ. Because generally these people are addressed by mentioning something that the Prophet ﷺ did or said. What is the response? قَالُوا حَسْبُنَا مَا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا. Whatever we have found our fathers doing is good enough for us. Leave us alone. Don't bother us. This idea of not seeking proof, not seeking the truth in scripture is criticized in the Quran here. This cultural baggage has to be shed for us to keep our promises that we made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَوَلَوْ كَانَ أَبَاهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. Even if their fathers knew nothing, even if that culture has nothing to do with reality or scripture, even if that's the case, you would still hold on to that culture. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, this is something has to be let go of. And he mentions after this, يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Those of us who are trying to help people and we're telling them, do this, do that, and if people are not listening, the idea is عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Your responsibility is, at the end of the day, yourself. لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. The one who does not listen to you, rejects scripture, even if you've told them nicely, ادفع بالتي هي أحسن السيئة, or ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة, call people to the way of your Lord with wisdom and with a good reminder. Even after you've done that and they still don't want anything to do with it, then Allah says, that's not your responsibility. You're not going to be asked about it. That's not your concern. You've done your job. Your concern at the end of the day is yourself. Like the Prophet was told, وَلَا تُسْأَلُ عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ. You won't be asked or questioned or interrogated about those people who went to hellfire. Those people who went to hellfire while you were alive, you won't be interrogated about them, Ya Rasulullah. It's not your fault. You did your job. Right? Likewise here as well, this is what this ayah means, that at the end of the day, we try to keep our promises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we help others keep their promise to Allah, but if they don't want to listen, we can't do anything about it. At the end of the day, responsibility is ultimately for everybody to watch out for themselves individually. He mentions after this the really phenomenal last two pages of Surah Ma'idah that present and paint the picture on the Day of Judgment, ayah number 109, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ الرُّسُلْ فَيَقُولُ مَاذَا أُجِبْتُمْ. The day when Allah will gather all the messengers and He would say, what was the response given to you? Of course He knows the response. But this is to show that the one who is given more power in dunya will have more responsibility. And when he has more responsibility, he will be asked about his responsibilities on the Day of Judgment. He will be asked about his responsibilities. The messengers were given the most power because they had miracles, they had ability to lay down the law, people had to follow them unconditionally. They had the most power. also they had the most responsibility. And thus they will be questioned on the Day of Judgment. These are the purest, cleanest, most righteous, most truthful people, and yet they're being interrogated on the Day of Judgment. Because responsibility, they had responsibility. قَالُوا لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. These messengers would be extremely humbled, and they would show extreme humility in front of Allah, and they would say, لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا, we have no knowledge. You know the answer, we don't know the answer, Ya Allah. This is the day when you are Maliki Yawmuddin, we are nothing on this day. لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. It is you, O Allah, who, only you who knows the unseen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the interrogation of one particular prophet in whose name many false things have been done. And that one is Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ. So he says, وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى بِنَ مَرْيَمَ. When, remember when Allah, would, the language says, إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ. Remember when Allah said, يَا عِيسَى بِنَ مَرْيَمَ. But this is not done yet. This is in the future, isn't it? Day of Judgment is not to come yet, to the best of my knowledge. It's coming in the future. It's not done yet. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Day of Judgment here in the past tense. And He often speaks about the Day of Judgment in the past tense. Really interesting. Because if I'm talking in the past tense, that thing is already done. It's a fact. It's a done deal. So here, when he talks about the Day of Judgment, he talks about it as if it's a done deal. It's a fact. What's in the past is a fact. What's in the future is speculation usually. He talks about Day of Judgment like it's already happened, as if it's already happened. Have that much certainty on the Day of Judgment, as if it's already happened. يَوْمَ يَجْمَعُ Sorry, إِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ. When Allah will say to Isa alayhi salam, the language says he said, but the meaning is, he will say to Isa alayhi salam, اذكر نعمتي عليك, remember my favor upon you, وعلى والدتك, and on your mother, اذ ايتك بروح القدس, when I helped you with the holy soul, روح القدس, that's Jibreel alayhi salam. إِذْ أَيَّتُكَ بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ تُكَلِّمُ النَّاسَ فِي الْمَهْدِ وَكَهْلًا. You would speak to the people while you were a baby and when you were grown up, etc., etc. Allah reminds him of all his favors. إِذْ أَلَّمْتُكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالتَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ. When I taught you the book and wisdom and the Torah and the Injil, and you would create from مِنَ الطِّينِ, from dirt, كَهَيَّةِ الطَّيْرِ, what looks like a bird. فَتَنْفُخُ فِيهَا, and you will blow in it. فَتَكُونُ طَيْرًا بِإِذْنِي, and it will become a bird with my permission. And you will cure the blind and the leper with my permission. Amazing miracles of Isa alayhi salam. وَإِذْ تُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى بِإِذْنِي, and you will bring the dead back to life with my permission. So Allah reminds Isa alayhi salam of all of the things He did for him. And then He mentions, I'm going to skip to the part at the towards the very end, ayah number 116, when he says, وَإِذْ قَالَ اللَّهُ يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ. When Allah said to Isa, يَا عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ, O Isa, أَأَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Did you say to the people, they take me and my mother as two gods besides Allah? That's the original Trinity. The original Trinity was God the Father, Mary the Mother, and Jesus the Son. That's where, this is what Allah is referring to here. But that idea evolved and changed over time. And to this day, there are some factions of Christians that actually have this same concept of the Trinity. This idea. So, he says, he interrogates Isa alayhi salam. Did you say this? Of course, Isa will never say something like this. So he says, Qala subhanak. He said, past tense, subhanak, you are above this, you are free from all flaws. مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أَقُولَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِحَقٍ. I would never say anything. It's not appropriate for me something to, for me to say something that I have no right to say. And this is something that no one has a right to say it. How can I say it? really beautiful interrogation and an amazing defense that Isa alayhi salam presents for himself. He says, "In kuntu qultuhu faqad alimta." If I had said it, then you would for sure know it. You would for sure know it. تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِكَ. You know what I have said. You know me completely, but I don't know everything about you. I don't know the unseen. You know the unseen. إِنَّكَ عَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. There is no doubt that you are the one, only one, who is عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ, the one who knows the unseen. مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَمَرْتَنِي بِهِ أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ. I kept my promise. I only said to them, worship Allah, my master and your master. And I was there, and while I was there, I was making sure that they were worshipping you. فَلَمَّا تَوَفَّيْتَنِي. But when you took me, كُنْتَ أَنْتَ الرَّقِيبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Then it was you who was watching over them. I wasn't watching over them. وَأَنْتَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. And you are a witness over everything. He says, إِنْ تُعَذِّبْهُمْ. If you are to punish them, فَإِنَّهُمْ عِبَادُكَ. Then they are your slaves. You can do whatever you want with them. وَإِنْ تَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. And if you were to forgive them, فَإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Then you are the one who is mighty. And you have your hakim. You have the wisdom, the hikmah to do this. You have the authority, the hukum to do it. You are the only one who can do this. Incredible words of Isa alayhi salam. He's saying, I kept my promise. They didn't keep their promise. And you know it. If you were to forgive them, then it's because you are al-Aziz. You are have authority and might. And you are al-Hakim. And you are the one who has the authority to do something on this day. Nobody else has the authority to do anything on this day. Very, very powerful words. And Allah ends with this as a reminder of the whole idea. The coming to the very end. قَالَ اللَّهُ هَذَا يَوْمُ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. This is the day when the truthful will benefit from their truthfulness. The idea of promises, أَوْفُ بِالْعُقُودِ, comes in a full circle. Those who kept it will benefit from that today. Those who didn't keep it will suffer on this day. And Isa alayhi salam is presented as an example to show that. Really, really powerful words. And the Prophet ﷺ would read these ayat and he would cry. He would cry, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he would think of himself being interrogated about his nation and what he would have to say against his own people. وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. Then we will bring you as a persecution witness against these people, not to intercede, not to come and speak on their behalf, to speak against them. He would dread that moment, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would cry. And this is the end of Surah Ma'idah. And this is the end of the first few Madani Surahs. Surah An'am that comes afterwards, the Surah number 6, is a Makki Surah. And it has 165 ayat. It was revealed in one shot. All of it in one shot. Usually Surahs are not revealed all in one shot. They were revealed some ayat here, some ayat there. Surah Fatiha was revealed in one shot. Surah Yusuf was revealed in one shot. Surah An'am is also one of those surahs that was revealed. And this is rare because it shows you there's some gravity to the topic that is being mentioned here. What's being discussed is really serious. And in fact, it is not just that it was revealed in one shot and it's a Makkah surah. Some scholars say it's the last Makkah surah. It's the last one to be revealed in Makkah. So there is a lot of threat. Because now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Messenger, has for 13 years been calling these people to Islam. Now this is like the final threat that Allah is giving them. This is like the straw that breaks the camel's back, to borrow that phrase. This is the final concluding threats that Allah is going to give these people. So it's got stern words in it for Quraysh, and we'll discuss this inshallah. Some connections between the end of Ma'idah and the beginning of An'am. The end of Ma'idah is talks about the Day of Judgment, paints the scene of the Day of Judgment. So beginning of An'am says, Alhamdulillah alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ardha wa ja'ala adh-dhulumati wan-nur. All praise is for Allah, the one who created the skies and the earth and made darknesses and light. Ja'ala adh-dhulumat wan-nur. So the Day of Judgment is the ultimate show of the darknesses and the light. In fact, the believers will have a light on that day an explicit light. The ayah in surah subhanallah, it just slipped my mind, it just came and slipped. Surah Tahrim and يَسَعَ نُورُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَبِأَيْمَانِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا أَتْمِمْ لَنَا نُورَنَا. The believers will have a light coming out of them. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who makes wudu, the parts where the water touches his face and his hands will shine on the Day of Judgment, will be illuminated. So there is nur on the Day of Judgment. And ظُلُمَات, there is darknesses on the Day of Judgment. The hypocrites will have no light. The disbelievers, Allah says, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ. Their faces will be dark. Not the color, but just all the light will be sucked out of their faces. When someone is really depressed, you say like this person has, you know, he's in a dark mood. تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهُ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ. So this is the ultimate day when light and darknesses and light will be on full display. So really beautiful how that surah ends and this surah begins on the same note. And also the day of surah Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنْتَ قُلْتَ لِلنَّاسِ اتَّخِذُونِي وَأُمِّيَ إِلَهَيْنِي مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Did you say to the people, take me and my mother as gods besides Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala interrogated Isa alayhi salam about this. He's the one who is the ultimate person who people have made equal with Allah. Nobody else in the history of the history of humanity has been claimed to this extent by this many number of people to be a son of God, to be an equal to God, right? Nobody else has that many people saying that about him. So, and then surah number six, surah An'am, in which Allah says, ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعْدِلُونَ, begins in the same note. The people who disbelieve, making others equal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begins on the same note that surah Ma'idah left off on. Surah An'am, the big idea in Surah An'am is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His signs, His ayat, not just in the book, but outside the book. His miracles not just in the book, but outside the book that can be seen and observed. And that should lead us to worship Him exclusively. We recognize His rububiyyah, to use the words in Aqidah words, rububiyyah, His authority as the master of everything through His creation. And that should lead us to dedicate ourselves in His worship exclusively, His uluhiyyah. This is Surah An'am's big idea. And there's a lot of threat to Quraysh who never did this. Never did this for many years and made many claims, and we'll read some of those claims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes. He begins by saying, Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa samawati wal ard wa ja'ala dhulumati wal nur thumma alladhina kafaru bi rabbihim ya'adilun. That all praises and thanks are for Allah, the one who created the skies and the earth and made the darknesses and light. There's two different words. Ja'ala means to make. Also is used to in the connotation of creation. But when they're both being talked about together, both of these words are together. Khalaqa and ja'ala. Khalaqa means to create, ja'ala means to make, but also is used to create. When they're both used the same ayah, they carry different connotations. The connotation is khalaqa is something that is physical. You can see the sky, you can see the earth. And ja'ala is a concept, the idea of darkness, the idea of light. Not just physical light and physical darkness, but the idea of disbelief being a darkness, the idea of being an addiction being a darkness, the idea of oppression being a darkness. All of this is an idea, a concept. So he uses the word ja'ala. Very subtle, very, very precise. Ja'ala thulumati wa nur, thumma ladhina kafaru bi rabbihim ya'adilun. Then those, still, despite that, those who have disbelieved in their master are making others equal to him. He mentions creation and resurrection. They're very closely related. He says, huwa ladhi khalaqakum min teen. ثُمَّ قَضَىٰ أَجَلًا. He created you from mud. And He then set a time limit. Because we all have a time limit then when we die. وَأَجَلٌ مُسَمَّنْ عِنْدَهُ. And the ultimate time limit is with Him. The Day of Judgment. What's really fascinating, He mentions creation. Creation of people. And with the creation, he mentions their resurrection. Because the idea of creation is that you were created so that you can be resurrected. Things are created on the earth, so they die and they will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment. This is a very powerful idea. People criticize, those who are not Muslims, those who are people of no faith, criticize that, oh, if God is perfect, how come He created things that have flaws? How come we die? How come things lose their power over time? Right? This is the criticism of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And this is answered in this ayah really beautifully. The point of creation is not to make a perfect creature that never dies and lives forever. The point of the creation is to remind the creature that you will die and you will be brought back to life. Creation and resurrection are brought so closely together in Quran to demonstrate that yes, the creation has flaws, that they will die, but that's the point of it. They are to be reminded that they are weak, and they are to be reminded that they will die, so they can be reminded that they will be resurrected. It's a really deep thing that Allah does very consistently in the Quran. He mentions after this the attitude of the Quraysh, who despite seeing the greatest messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who had the most perfect akhlaq, the one who they loved dearly before he became a messenger, the one who they would call as-sadiq, the truthful one, the one who would they say, this guy, we trust him with our money. Imagine, you will give a person your entire life savings, no strings attached, knowing that he will protect it for you, and he'll give it back to you when you ask for it. That's the amount of trust they had in the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now this man, you are saying he's crazy, and he is insane, and he's a liar. Right? This is the Quraysh, this was their attitude. So Allah says, they are constantly seeking a physical miracle. They said, ayah number 7, وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا فِي قِرْطَاسٍ فَلَمَسُوهُ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ. If you were to send down a book on a scroll, فَلَمَسُوهُ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ, and they are touching it with their hands, لَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ. Even if that happened, these same people will say, this is magic, you played a magic trick on us, this is not a miracle. And they said, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْهِ مَلَكٌ. Why, how come there is no angel sent to him? Of course, there is an angel sent to them, Jibreel alayhi salam. But they're like, no, we want to see a real angel. Well, you don't even know what an angel looks like. But you still want to see an angel. These are silly claims from Quraysh. And Allah says, وَلَوْ أَنزَلْنَا مَلَكًا. If you were to send an angel, لَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. It will be all over. Because the angel comes with the punishment. And the angels were sent to Lut alayhi salam, they didn't come to greet them. They came to punish them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, watch out what you're asking for. Be careful in what you ask. And he says, وَلَوْ جَعَلْنَاهُ مَلَكًا. If you were to ever send an angel, لَجَعَلْنَاهُ رَجُلًا. We would have made him like a man. وَلَلَبَسْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ مَا يَلْبِسُونَ. And we would have confused them even more. And this idea, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what he's implying here is, people who want to see a magic trick to verify their faith, or they're waiting for some trick to appear from the sky so they can believe, really, in reality, these people have no desire to believe in the first place. Constantly seeking a physical miracle, like seeing an angel, like seeing this book coming from the sky, like this, like that, turn this mountain into gold, it shows that you really don't have any desire to believe in the first place. You're just looking for an excuse to not believe. What happened to Firaun, who saw all these miracles? Did he believe? He didn't believe. What happened to the people of Isa alayhi salam, who saw the most incredible miracles? Only 10 or 12 of them believed. Handful. Not even, worth mentioning. It's not about the physical miracles. In fact, most people who ask for them are really not looking for a miracle. They're looking for an excuse to not believe. So, Allah mentions this, that look, messengers are always mocked. وَلَقَدْ اِسْتُهْزِيَ بِرُسُلٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. People will always laugh at messengers. People will always make fun of people of faith, because they're perceived to be, lesser intellect. They're perceived to be dumb. This is what they called Salih alayhi salam, that لقد كنت فينا oh, sorry he says وما نراك إلا في سفاهة. We see you as a fool. We see you as a fool. And messengers were seen like that. And people who follow messengers are seen like this. Look at these crazy people. Look at what they're doing. They're not eating for the whole day. Insanity. Right? People, this is just how people will look at it. So Allah says, look, this is how it's been the case. But at the end of the day, the last laugh is for the messenger and his followers. He says, قل لمن الأرض ومن قل لمن ما في السماوات والأرض. Ayah number 12. Say, to who belongs whatever is in the skies and what's on the earth? Whose kingdom is it? قل لله. It is for Allah exclusively. كتب على نفسه الرحمة. And despite having power, you know, this is an axiom that says absolute power corrupts absolutely. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has absolute power, and He says what? كَتَبَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. He has mandated upon Himself mercy. He has mandated upon Himself mercy. SubhanAllah. It's so powerful if you think about it. Allah has all the power that He wants. All the control in the world, and yet He's mandated upon Himself mercy. So that's why people keep doing bad things, thinking nothing's going to happen. Because Allah keeps giving them mercy and showing them more mercy and more mercy. And Rahmah, by the way, is not just mercy. Rahmah is more than mercy. It's love and care. It's love and care. So that's what Allah has mandated upon Himself. He says Allah is only the one who is only truly worthy of worship. He says, قُلْ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَتَّخِذُ وَلِيًّا. Ayah number 14. Is there anybody else that I should seek as a ilah, as somebody to worship? فاطر السماوات والأرض. قل أغير الله أتخذ وليا. Should I seek anybody else to be my closest ally, my closest friend, the one who's closest to me, the one who I worship, the one who's always with me? فاطر السماوات والأرض. The one who created the skies and the earth out of nothing, without a blueprint. فاطر is a beautiful word. Not خالق السماوات. فاطر. Created out of nothingness. Created without a blueprint. وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ. And He feeds and He is not fed. Just before we discussed, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was mentioning why Isa alayhi salam is not a messenger. He says, He said, Isa alayhi salam is not a God. He said, كَانَ يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ. They used to eat food. They needed to consume to survive. They needed to consume to survive. You cut off their food supply, they're at your mercy. So likewise here, he says that Allah, in fact, He does not need any food. He does not need anybody to give Him something so He can survive. He, in fact, He's the one who feeds everybody. He ensures everybody else survives. So this is a really powerful illustration of why Allah should be worshipped only and nobody else. He mentions a scene from the Day of Judgment in this surah. He says that وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ وُقِفُوا عَلَى النَّارِ. Ayah number 27. If you could only see when they are stopped in front of the hellfire. This is a really powerful scene. He says فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا. So they said, again, usage of the past tense, very powerful. They said, as if it's already done. فَقَالُوا يَا لَيْتَنَا. They are saying يَا لَيْتَنَا. You know, damned, let us be damned. Laytana is that intense regret. There's a translation, woe be to us, but I don't know what woe means. But what it means is that a person is regretting himself so much. He's cursing himself. Ya laytana, they're cursing themselves. And what do they say? Nuraddu, wala nukadhiba bi ayati rabbina. If we were to only be returned, and so that we won't call the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as lies. We won't call them lies, and then we will believe in them. وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We will be believers. But Allah says, بَلْ بَدَى لَهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يُخْفُونَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. But what's reality is that what they...
Like he left the wire.
I'll give it to you.
Oh, جزاك الخير. السلام عليكم. جزاك الله خير.
This is yours?
Yeah, this is mine, yes. شكراً جزاك الله خير. Oh.
Battery to bring